Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Sollentrop, Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We're going to be talking about Wichita State basketball with Bob Lutz, radio host of The Drive, 4 to 6 p.m. on, make sure I get the call letters
KFH.
Right. KFH.
It's usually me interviewing you on radio, Paul. This is going to be brand new. It takes us back to our old days as the post-game video show at Kansas.com.
Can we recreate that magic?
That was magical. Almost every game. I'm surprised that didn't win some Emmys.
Probably a little ahead of its time. So yes, Bob, co-host of The Drive with his son Jeff, writes a column for KSN, League 42, all kinds of things. Bob is very busy. We're going to talk about Wichita State basketball. Let's start with kind of the season at whole. It was such a momentous deal, historic, moving to the American Athletic Conference, fascinating season in a lot of respects. What did you come away with? What was your takeaway from this season for Wichita
State? Well, first of all, the American was almost everything we'd hoped and dreamed it would be. Maybe a little thin at the bottom of the league, maybe some programs, i.e. UConn and Memphis, that can certainly elevate their level, but with Houston, Cincinnati, to a lesser degree, Temple, Tulsa. It's a fantastic conference and a great move for Wichita State. It's up the profile for this university, being seen on CBS and national television for every game. And just a great situation for the Shockers now and moving forward.
Yeah, I think UConn and Memphis's struggles are such a big part of this, but in some ways it should make you more optimistic, because if those programs, which have the resources, which have the history, if they can get to where they should be, then this conference gets even better and deeper.
Yeah, and you believe Temple is going to be a factor. I think Tulsa's on the right track. There's some other programs. But to me it's pretty easy fixes for UConn and Memphis. They have such great history. It looks like Tubby Smith may not be long for the world at Memphis. We know that Kevin Ollie has already been dismissed at UConn. It'll be fascinating to see who they go after. They're going after some big names, and that's the kind of conference the Shockers are in now, a big-name, big-time basketball conference.
A lot of interest, a lot of drama. Injuries were a big part of the story in the American. I think SMU maybe have been a fourth team to make the NCAA tournament had they not had some injuries. Central Florida was also hit. Was there a particular rivalry or a particular conference series that maybe grabbed your interest more than you expected?
I think Houston now. Some real meaningful games against Houston. Good games. A little attitude on the part of the Cougars, which I don't mind. I think it's good for the conference, good for rivalries. And, of course, Cincinnati, which we knew would be a great rivalry because of those teams back in their old Valley of Death days in the Missouri Valley Conference. Tulsa's going to be a really good rivalry. So those stand out. Certainly, I think others will develop. You mentioned SMU. I think that's got the potential to be a good rivalry. And SMU certainly can be an outstanding program and has been in the past. So everywhere you look outside of East Carolina and South Florida is a pretty positive development for the American Athletic Conference, and I'd like to see those two teams get better.
Have you picked an American opponent you will pick on like you did Drake in the Missouri Valley Conference?
I don't know them well enough yet, but certainly South Florida, down there in Tampa, where everything's wonderful. Let's get the basketball program going.
Those schools have a lot of resources.
They do have a lot of resources.
I did not go to South Florida, but after hearing about them, after being at Central Florida, those are large, large universities with a lot of people, a lot of things going for them. It's an interesting situation with those two schools.
And they seem to care a lot about athletics, obviously. South Florida has a name coach, Brian Gregory, did really good job at Dayton, not so well at Georgia Tech, but that's a guy that has a good track record. East Carolina, pretty anonymous in this conference right now. But you were there. I thought their gym looked good. I think it looked good on TV at least. I hold out some hope that East Carolina, a school that's had some good football seasons, some good baseball seasons, no reason why they can't be better in basketball.
Yeah, I talked to a couple people about, you know, because they have an interim coach, Michael Perry, so I assume they will be looking for a new one. And it's kind of, how do you succeed there? It's a bit of a outlier in this conference because it is in such a small town. You know, Connecticut being in stores would be the one that's kind of similar, but Connecticut also is so close to Hartford, it's also different. So East Carolina is kind of a different school, less metropolitan than much of this conference. I think that adds a challenge to that job. That will
no
be interesting.
Question.
Did the Shockers develop, proceed, progress as you expected?
You know, the injuries early on to McDuffie and Shamet showed themselves, especially with McDuffie, who I'm not convinced is still 100%. But Shamet turned it around. I thought the Shockers had a really good season. We talked before we started the broadcast about their defense. Well, some of that is because they're playing better teams. The American Conference has really good scores. I think seven different players scored 30 or more points against Wichita State this season. Marshall, their opponent in the first round of the NCAA tournament, is a high-scoring team with a couple of guys that average 20 or more points. So we've seen a little less defensive prowess from the Shockers this year, but a lot more on the offensive end with a lot of guys who can score.
Yeah, when they get going on offense, they are really fun to watch. I think the word beautiful has been used because of the way they move the ball. Is there another Shocker team? Was that 2014 team similar on offense? The 2012 team, Trey Murray and Garrett Stutson, those guys, was a really experienced group. The offensive skills of this team, can you compare it to another Shocker team you watched?
Yeah, you're good with years. I know the year Joe Ragland was a senior, that was a really high-powered offensive team, and he doesn't get enough mention as one of the great Shockers. He had just a fantastic senior season. So that season would stand out to me. The Baker Van Vliet years, certainly some good offense, but just a terrific defensive teams in that era. And that's what Greg Marshall has hung his hat on, is defense. And we've heard him be a little bit upset at times this season because at times that's been lacking. But when he looks out there and he sees a team averaging, 83 points per game, it may not fit with what he's coached in the past, but he's got to be pleased with how this team can score.
I'm glad you brought up Joe Ragland. He has become one of my favorites because, yeah, that senior year was just a great, great offensive performance, and it's kind of got lost in the rush of success that came after that. That's one of my favorite topics.
And still hard to fathom that a guy that good and a 50% three-point shooter that season still didn't average 15 points. Only one Shocker in the Marshall era, Clay Anthony Early, has averaged 15 or more points per game. Now, Landry Shamet's right at that. This year, he could become the second. But we're talking about 11 years now. And it's a remarkable statistic, I believe.
Well, we'll get back to the defense later because I know that's something people are interested in. Let's look at the bracket. What do you think about Wichita State's first weekend? Let's just limit it to that.
I think Marshall will be a test. I think they'll get past that test, but this is a pretty decent team from everything I've been able to discern. Played, beat Middle Tennessee, Western Kentucky. That's a good conference, and I think it'll be a test because they have scores, and they have a D'Antoni as their coach, so they're gonna not shy away from shooting. They're gonna hunt for 3-point shots. You're not gonna see a lot of back to the basket. You'll see them attack the rim. Shoot the three. They're not going to try to post up. He doesn't believe in that, so it's an interesting strategy, but it'll be a test. And then West Virginia with their defense and Wichita State's offense, that's the ultimate test. That's the game I think we want to see, and I think we will see that game and how Wichita State attacks all of that pressure. I don't think they play any team like that in this conference. I don't think there is a comparable team to West Virginia and how they attack you defensively, so I would guess that that's going to be a something that Greg Marshall's already looking at, not looking past Marshall, but looking at, okay, we really don't have any track record against a team like this. How are we going to attack them?
Yeah, I'm sure they will have one of their assistants will be assigned to West Virginia. One will be assigned to Murray State. So they'll have it's a fast turnaround. Wichita State thinks that benefits them in a lot of cases. I would agree with you. I think every year I'm always asking, who scares you in the bracket? And West Virginia just seems like the team you would be petrified to play because of the physical nature, the way they play. You've probably seen them up close several times with them being in the Big 12. How would you compare them to, say, Cincinnati, which is another really physical defensive team?
Yeah, they may do it a little bit differently than Cincinnati because West Virginia really presses you from the time you throw the ball in, and they don't want you to get comfortable in your half court, and nor does Cincinnati, but... Kansas obviously had a recipe to handle West Virginia. They kind of wore them down. They turned the tables on West Virginia. You would think that KU, with its lack of depth, would have been the team that wore out in those games, but they kept taking it to West Virginia. So maybe Greg Marshall and Bill Self will get together this week and have a talk over West Virginia and how they might schedule a four-game series. Who knows?
They probably met at Emporia, maybe at the Turnpike rest stop, and swapped tips on that. Yes. Yeah, Wichita State was pleased with its number four seed. I don't know how much you delved into, looking at the brackets and evaluating. What did you think? Was that a fair seed for them?
Yeah, I think that's a fair seed. I expected it maybe to drop one spot to five after the loss to Houston. But it's another huge benefit from being in the American. They went to Orlando last week, and they were playing for seeding. They weren't playing to try to get the automatic bid. They knew the at-large thing was locked up. So it was a matter of trying to win as many games as possible. You were at the tournament. Thank goodness the Shockers were in it, because it looked like they had 50% of the crowd, even 1,500 miles from home. Is that reality? Is that what?
Oh, I would say it was more than 50% of games that they were not involved in, and that may be low. I think it was. Yeah, it was. I think I learned quickly covering Wichita State. You never underestimate Wichita State fans and what they will do to see the Shockers. And I think they outperformed even the high expectations. It was really impressive for people. That is a major financial commitment to get to those places, and Wichita State fans, as they have for many, many years, were really good.
And it's, this is a smaller community. It's not a professional sports town. So many of the cities in the American are pro sports town, and the colleges take a back burner, so they're not going to follow their teams. Even a team like Cincinnati, they have a good number of fans, but not fans that are willing to go on the road and support them. So maybe Wichita State in this conference will start to boost that, the fan bases in other cities, but I don't know. I mean, if you're living in Houston, you got the Astros, the Rockets, the Texans. How much are the Cougars going to be on your radar?
Well, I think Wichita State fans have been rewarded because Wichita State gets to the NCAA tournament and then they win games. So that engenders loyalty and a passion, and that's what a school like Houston needs to do. Is, it's not maybe enough to win 20 games. It's, you get to the NCAA tournament, you take your fans on a fun ride, and I think that's what, that's how you get people to then be that loyal. But Wichita State fans were great. They cannot wait for it to be in Memphis next year. And then Fort Worth starting in 2020, that will be a Wichita State takeover if this current mood continues.
You're talking about a five-hour drive then. So, yeah, that'll be remarkable. And I'm sure the Americans thrilled to have Wichita State in this conference because I'm sure they want to up their profile in basketball. And I think they made a good step this year with three teams in the tournament, all seeded pretty highly. I think all three could make deep runs. In fact, I astounded our radio listeners yesterday by picking Houston to get to the Final Four. But I look at their region, and I think you could make a case. I think you could make a case for Cincinnati. I think you would like to make a case for Wichita State. However, Villanova looks like a major roadblock to me. So I think that's a game we could easily see in the Sweet 16. Can Wichita State beat Villanova? I think that's a tricky one.
Yeah, Villanova's very good, very good. That would be a matchup that would attract a lot of attention, that's for sure. Will Wichita State fans, will Wichitans cheer for Houston this weekend in Trust Bank Arena?
Well, I think there's something going around town that they're trying to get Wichita State to support San Diego State, and meanwhile, San Diegans would then support Wichita State, the four San Diegans that go to the tournament out in San Diego this weekend. So Houston has a little bit of a villainous role for Wichita State now with some of their behavior in the last game. But they are a conference ally, so I don't know. I think that's an interesting one.
Yeah, I think you've got to root for the conference team. I mean, that's from both a prestige and a paycheck standpoint. Every game that Houston and Cincinnati and Wichita State wins benefits the whole thing.
Yeah, and I think all three teams are capable of doing very well in the tournament too.
And I would agree, the 2, the 4, and the 6 are just huge for this conference because they had not been getting good seeds outside of that first season in 2014. I think Louisville was a 4 and Cincinnati was a 5. But since then, the last 3 years, it hasn't been great. So that is a strong sign for the American to get 3 teams in that realm.
And like we said earlier, so many teams that have potentially could join this mix. You know, you could very easily see this being a 4-5-6 bid league in the future. If some of these schools get their acts together.
Shaq Morris, fascinating 5-season career at Wichita State, is finishing really on a strong note. All conference in the American Athletic Conference has really been playing well, has become a guy that, you know, this team just leans on, and he is really, really playing well. Give us your thoughts on Shaq Morris and his time as a Shocker.
Well, it's interesting because even though you have Landry Shamet on this team, even though you have the homegrown Connor Francamp, I think Shaq Morris is so popular with this fan base because they realize what trials and tribulations he's been through, and some of that he's brought on himself. I'll never forget being in Orlando a couple seasons ago, and Greg Marshall seemed to be at the end of his rope with Shaquille Morris. I wasn't sure Shaq was going to be on the plane ride home. I don't think you were either. Coach Marshall was pretty outspoken about his dissatisfaction with the effort being shown by Shaq. But almost since that tournament, he's seemed to be a different player with a different motivation. And he's developed into a tremendous front court presence, not only with scoring and rebounding, but shot blocking. He's become a much better defensive player. He's gotten into superb shape. He's a major success story and a guy who needed that redshirt season to really to come into his own. And I think we all just like Shaq as a guy. He's just a good person, and you like for guys like that to find a level of success.
And he's got a good, engaging personality, and I think it's important to say, I think after the Orlando tournament, he did start to show these signs. He had some really good stretches as a junior. And then really as a senior has put it together for a long, long stretch. Where do you put him among Shocker big men?
You know, the first thing you look at is you look at that statistical line, you know, and I guess we could delve more deeply into the analytics of college basketball. That's something you do. And I'd like to do more of that myself, but I think Shaq Morris has to go down as one of the top centers that this program's ever had, and I think you could make a case that it's Robert Elmore, Gene Wiley, Nate Bowman, Terry Benton, some of those guys, and I think he has to be in that conversation with some of those superb centers to play. Now, he's not a true center. He plays in the low post, but he's only 6'8". Imagine what we'd be talking about with Shaq Morris if he was 2 inches taller, 3 inches taller. We'd be talking about a guy that we feel like could go to the NBA and be a big-time factor. But because he's only 6'8", and he plays mostly in the post, we probably don't see his future as an NBA player. But he'll play somewhere, don't you think?
Definitely. He has probably really improved his professional prospects by playing so well for so long here. When I was thinking about other Shocker centers of a recent vintage, you know, you talk about Paul Miller, you talk about Garrett Stutz and Shaq, all of them came along kind of ups, downs, back, forth. Is that just a big man thing? Do they maybe take a little bit longer to hit their stride?
That's a good question. You know, with Paul, he was a baseball player / basketball player. Stutz seemed to have to really adapt to this level. It seemed like he struggled just playing at this high of a level. And with Shaq, it was more of an effort of, I think, a guy came here who was used to eating Oreo cookies before and after practice, and they kind of had to get him out of that rut and teach him the art of conditioning. So all three similar, but all three with maybe a little bit different stories. Paul Miller, you know, he had the broken leg that sidelined him his first year. Those are obviously tough to recover from. But in the Turgeon Marshall areas, I think Shaq and Paul Miller have set themselves apart a little bit as centers. I'd throw Stutz in there a notch below those two guys.
Yeah. Now Garrett's senior year, a lot like Joe Ragland, was very, very strong.
Very good.
Yeah. He had an excellent senior year. Landry Shamet, you've been pretty outspoken on the radio. You expect to see Landry Shamet in the NBA, maybe in the NBA All-Star game.
No, don't. Did you?
At some point in his career.
That's my biggest argument. Listen, I understand how difficult it is not only to get to the NBA, but to even be a one-time All-Star is an unbelievable accomplishment. But to me, Landry has a lot of the ingredients you like. He's tall. He's 6'4". He can handle it. He can play the point. He can play the two. He's a good defensive player who needs to get stronger. But tremendous shooter, can take the ball to the basket. Outside of the strength issue, and I think he's certainly improved on that as well, outside of the strength issue, tell me what doesn't look like an NBA player with Landry Shamet. I mean, he has the look. He has the skill set. I think he's ready. I think he's ready next year to be a contributor in the NBA. An all-star, I'm going to stick with it because I think that shooting ability can help set him apart. And that's even more of a factor in the NBA than it is in college.
And I think he's got that, I'll use the word, seriousness about him that reminds me of Fred VanVleet, of Ron Baker, guys who, you know, worked on their craft, knew what they had to do, put in the time, all those kind of things. I think he is, I think you're right in a lot of your assessments.
This is a guy who has 4 inches on Fred and is a better shooter than Ron. Now, he's not the defensive player Ron Baker is. He's not the physical specimen that Ron Baker is. But that's something you can still continue to work on. And I expect Landry to get there at some point. I think we'll look back at Landry as one of the iconic players to play here. Now, Ron and Fred took a team, major parts of a team that reached the Final Four. We'll see how Landry's career ends here. I think it's imperative that the Shockers get to the Sweet 16 to help not only what they're trying to accomplish, but to secure the legacy of guys like that.
You've chronicled Connor Francamp's career probably more than anyone else. What are your what are your thoughts on how his time at Wichita State went?
Well, I try not to be a homer in any regard in things that I do, except I do have a great affinity for the City League. And that's from a guy that grew up in Derby. So I never went to a City League school. You did. You went to Capen. I like to see local guys do well. I got a great kick out of Perry Ellis of Kansas, and Connor is a guy that I watched a lot in high school. He's had an interesting Shocker career. It maybe hasn't been what I thought it would be in terms of scoring, in terms of knocking down three-pointers, but it's been he's a solid, solid player. It seems like when he's on the floor, the ball gets to the right people more often than not. And I think that's an underestimated talent that Connor has, is to see the floor and to understand who should have the ball and who should be shooting the ball. But in terms of his offensive performance, if you would have told me that Connor Francamp would spend almost 3 seasons here at Wichita State and not have a 20-point game, I would have told you to have your head examined. I thought he could do that in his sleep. So he's kind of transformed himself into more of an off-guard floor general, if there is such a thing. He's not the scorer I think a lot of us thought he would be. But I think there's still a chance that in this tournament, Connor could have that kind of game. Am I grasping at it?
No, not at all. I think he's proven himself capable of having big scoring nights. I think what you say about him on the floor, when you talk about beautiful basketball, I think he's one of the guys that really contributes to that because the ball does not stick with him. He keeps it moving. And I think the respect that he gets from defenses continues to be very important. You know, we talk about what a good season Shaq Morris has had. Well, one of the reasons is, you know, Wichita State can surround him with such great shooters, Connor Francamp being one of them. So I think he has been a real asset to this team. And it's been encouraging to see him. And I think he's had more success over the last six or eight games, going to the basket a little bit, getting some floaters to go, doing those kind of things. I think that's been helpful.
And he doesn't turn the ball over. I think he has the best turnover to assist ratio in the country, maybe, and he hasn't missed a free throw. So those things matter. Connor's had a good run at Wichita State. It's been a different run than I would have anticipated.
Yeah, the no turnover thing is huge. I mean, when the ball is in Connor Francamp's hands, generally, something good happens. Very rarely do negative things happen, and I think that's something that Greg Marshall really, really, really values. We mentioned the defense earlier. I'm sure there's a lot of different levels of concern about the defense at Wichita State. It's not what people are used to. Greg Marshall's addressed that. The players have addressed that. What are your thoughts on how much that matters, how much that affects this team?
You know, we've been around Greg a lot over the previous years, and defense is something he believes in. It was the kind of player he was. I think a lot of that goes back to his inability to be a good offensive player, and he made his way as a defensive-minded player, and he's been a defensive-minded coach. So this team, I'm sure, has been different for him. But like I said, it's also pretty gratifying to see a team that can score the way this one can and to have as many weapons and as good a depth and offensive depth as they have. We were talking earlier about, you know, he still obviously believes in Rashard Kelly, as we all do. He still believes in Zach Brown as being the two guys that on this team are probably the best defenders. But there's times when he goes with Darrell Willis and Marcus McDuffie because they're better scorers than those two. So trying to put all that together, trying to fit this team together that has so many different parts, I think it's been a good coaching job by Greg Marshall, because to find a chemistry with this team has probably been a challenge. Even in the backcourt, we saw Samaje Haynes-Jones play quite a bit early. We haven't seen him play as much. We've seen C.J. Kaiser become more of the fourth guard on this team. And it's just been kind of an evolution of the depth of this team.
With the defense, and certainly it's been an issue. You can't get around that. I like to bring up a couple things. I think the rules have changed a little bit. There is more freedom of movement, and certainly it's just different personnel. Greg has addressed that too. You know, when you were rolling out Ron Baker and Takeo Cotton and Fred VanVleet, you had three what I think are elite college defenders, and then you had Evan Wessel, who was a very good college defender, and certainly mentally and physically, those guys are hard to replace. This team is just different, and as they've said, it may have to outscore people at times. They may have to be satisfied with three really good minutes of defense instead of six or eight like that other team.
But you've seen them recently in the final regular season game here against Cincinnati, and in the loss to Houston in the tournament, you've seen them buckle down defensively. Those were really tough defensive games that we've grown accustomed to seeing Greg Marshall. So I think they're still capable, but it's fun to watch a team score. I've enjoyed this team getting into the 90s, and they've shown that they can do it even when Landry Shamet missed a game, even when Shaq was ineffective. They find ways to score a lot of points.
We'll wrap it up. The NCAA tournament is coming to Wichita down at Interest Bank Arena. I think this is just a monumental civic moment. This is why a lot of people voted for that arena downtown. You were really a strong backer of the arena. What's your feelings on what this weekend means to Wichita, and how's Wichita going to pull it off?
You know, Wichita's done a lot of prep work. They've Wichita State is a host for this tournament. Wichita State has been preparing for this now for a while. I drove down by the arena yesterday, and it looks great. And Wichita is going to put its best foot forward here, I believe. And in 3 years, we'll do it again, because this is also a first and second round side in 2021. So it's exciting. It's exciting to have KU coming here. We believe that when KU's bus enters the city limits, that it won't explode or anything. We believe that Kansas will find out that they can come to Wichita anytime and have a good time here. And that's my coy way of saying that Bill Self needs to drop the guard and say, let's do a series with Wichita State. The old line about what do we have to gain doesn't hold as true anymore, because Wichita State's a major power now in college basketball. But Kansas and Michigan and some of the teams we're going to see here, that's going to be a lot of fun.
It will be exciting. A big, big moment for this city. Did you cover the 1994 tournament?
I was out at the Cow Palace, which is the Kansas Coliseum, and we were situated in the barn. The media, they put the media in the barn with the smell of horses and cows, and I got a feeling we're going to do a little bit better job this year.
Yes, thank goodness we will make a better impression.
I remember being around a lot of major media people in that time, and the discussion was maybe not favorable. So this will be different. Bob Ryan was one of those guys who had some interesting things to say, but the tournament inside the building, the basketball is great. Wichita will support this thing. It'll be a packed house on Thursday and again on Saturday. So a great event for Wichita. Thank goodness we have an arena now that's capable of handling these kinds of events. And only good things, you know. Wichita State getting the American Conference, now the NCAA tournament. Lots of positivity right now in Wichita.
League 42 is close to your heart. I'll give you a little chance here to tell us what you're doing in League 42, and if people want to get involved and help out, how can they do that?
We founded League 42 in 2013, so we're starting our fifth year. We have 580 kids or thereabouts on 42 teams, and we're building some new facilities at McAdams Park, thanks to the city of Wichita, and we're going to do our own fundraising to hopefully add to those facilities. We want this league to be around for a long, long time. It reaches urban kids ages 5 to 14 who otherwise probably would not have an opportunity to play baseball because of the cost of the game. And we charge a nominal fee of $30 per kid or family of siblings to play, and they come to us. We used to have to really go out and recruit to find kids, and now we almost have to bar the door, because we've done exactly what we thought we would, and that's appeal to kids who want to be active, want to play, just needed an opportunity.
What are your numbers at?
We're at 42 teams and about 580 kids this year right now. So that's, we feel really good. Our practices just started on Monday. We start our season on April 16th, and we invite your legion of listeners, Paul, to come out and see us this spring and summer at McAdams Park and give us a look.
You rely on, you use volunteers for coaches, so if people want to get involved, they can do it.
We do have volunteers for coaches. Anybody that wants to be a part of League 42 can email me at the email address is league42wichita@gmail.com, league42wichita@gmail.com, and our coaches are the best.
All right. Well, Bob, thank you very much for giving us a few minutes here to talk about Wichita State basketball, the NCAA tournament. I appreciate your time. Good to see you again.
Always a pleasure, Paul. Thank you.